Blog Talk Radio.
All the foams in the ocean. It's just getting worse and worse.
few weeks, you guys are going to be hearing about me hospitalized. I wanted to see my boys. I wanted to see my children. I don't know. Until I got to see them now, I hope we contacting you guys with. Love you guys. Bye.
Tragic. The true face
of the Gulf Bill cleanup crew
member. And
they're all dying and sick.
Yeah. And nobody's reporting about it. Nobody is reporting about this, you know.
You think that we were supposed to go down to the Gulf of Mexico and swim during the spring
and
summer.
But none of the mainstream media, nobody is saying anything about this.
Well, it's
they're
being,
not interviewing
no,
these
it's
guys.
No, it's being said on other Al Jazeera.
Where?
Al Jazeera, obviously.
Well, Al Jazeera,
you're not listening. It's
who
not,
the hell gets Al Jazeera by people in the Arab countries?
You're
you
not
know?
Listening, Leo. It's not being reported by our media.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you didn't say that.
It's not being
our,
reported by the European presses either.
Probably
right?
not.
No. Right. I mean, you got to go to websites. You got to go somewhere, you know, to YouTube and stuff to find these things. It's
very,
horrible.
Very
no, it's just horrible.
I'd like to know why she's not getting any medical care.
Well, I'm curious myself. You know, what, they turned her away? Or well, I don't understand that whole scenario.
I don't either.
Especially since it's offered. You know, all she got to do is go down and apply, you know, and say, hey, I'm dying here. But what bothers me is that there's nobody reporting about this stuff, you know? That's what bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what bothers me.
What they're covering up at Fukushima. For example, yesterday, around Fukushima Daiichi Station, they measured 400 millisieverts, that's per hour. With this measurement, Idano admitted, that's the chief cabinet secretary, admitted for the first time that there was a danger to health, but he didn't explain what this means. All of the information media are at fault here, I think. They are saying stupid things like, why are we exposed to radiation? Why we are exposed to radiation all the time in our daily lives? We get radiation from outer space, but that's 1 millisievert per year. A year has 365 days. A day has 24 hours. Multiply 365 by 24, you get 8,760. Multiply the 400 millisieverts by that, you get 3,500,000, the normal dose. You call that safe? And what media have reported this? None.
There you go.
Read more that they're covering up at Fukushima.
If anybody's depending on the mainstream media for anything, please, forget about it.
Heroes? Takashi has written a whole shelf right here.
Oh.
Hirose Takashi has written a whole shelf full of books, mostly on the nuclear power industry and the military industrial complex. Probably his best known book is Nuclear Power Plants for Tokyo, in which he took the logic of the nuke promoters to its logical conclusion. If you are so sure that they're safe, why not build them in the center of the city instead of hundreds of miles away where you lose half the electricity in the wires? He did the TV interview that is partly translated below, somewhat against his present impulses. I talked to him on the telephone today, that was March 22nd, and he told me that while it made sense to oppose nuclear power back then, now that the disaster has begun, he would just as soon remain silent. But the lies they are telling on the radio and TV are so gross that he cannot remain silent. I have translated only about the first third of the interview. The part that pertains particularly to what is happening at the Fukushima plant. In the latter part, he talked about how dangerous radiation is in general, and also about the continuing danger of earthquakes.
After reading his account, you will wonder why do they keep on sprinkling water on the reactors rather than accept the sarcophagus solution, entombing the reactors in concrete. I think there is a couple of answers. One of those reactors was expensive. And they just can't bear the idea of a huge financial loss. But more importantly, accepting the sarcophagus solution means admitting that they were wrong and that they couldn't fix the things. On the one hand, that's too much guilt for a human being to bear. On the other, it means that the defeat of the nuclear energy idea, an idea that they hold to with almost religious devotion, and it means not just the loss of those 6 or 10 reactors, it means shutting down all the others as well, a financial catastrophe. If they can only get them cooled down and running again, they can say, see, nuclear power isn't so dangerous after all. Fukushima is a drama with the whole world watching, which can end in the defeat or in the frail, I think, groundless hope of victory for the nuclear industry. And Hiroshi's account can help us understand what the drama is all about. Hiroki Takashi, Fukushima's nuclear power accident and state of the media, the interviewer.
Broadcast by.
I don't want to go through that whole thing, but, you know, I don't think so.
Why don't we just read a couple of things right here. The guy, Yo, is the one interviewing. Yo, today many people saw water being sprayed on the reactors from the air and from the ground, but is this effective? Hiroshi, if you want to cool the reactor down with water, you have to circulate the water inside and carry the heat away. Otherwise, it has no meaning. So the only solution is to reconnect the electricity. Otherwise, it's like pouring water on lava.
Reconnect the electricity, that's to restart the cooling system? Yes, the accident is caused by the fact that the tsunami flooded the emergency generators and carried away their fuel tanks. If that isn't fixed, there's no way to recover from this accident.
Yo, TEPCO says they expect to bring in a high voltage line this evening. Hiroshi, yes, there's a little bit of hope there, but what's worrisome is that a nuclear reactor is not like what the schematic pictures show. This is just a cartoon. Here's what it looks like underneath the reactor container, and he shows them a photograph. This is the butt end of the reactor. Take a look. It's a forest of switch levers, wires, and pipes. On television, these pseudo-scholars come in and give us simple explanations, but they know nothing, those college professors. Only the engineers know. This is where the water has been poured in, and I guess he points to it. This maze of pipes is enough to make you dizzy. Its structure is too wildly complex for us to understand. For a week now, they have been pouring water through there, and it's salt water, right? You pour salt water on a hot kiln, and what do you think happens? You get salt. The salt will get into all the valves and cause them to freeze. They won't move. This will be happening everywhere, so I can't believe that it's just a simple matter of you reconnecting the electricity and the water will begin to circulate. I think any engineer with a little imagination can understand this. You take a system as unbelievably complex as this, and they actually dump water on it from a helicopter. Maybe they have some idea of how this could work, but I can't understand it.
It will take 1,300 tons of water to fill the pools that contain the spent fuel rods in reactors 3 and 4. This morning, 30 tons. Then the self-defense forces are to hose in another 30 tons from 5 trucks. That's nowhere near enough. They have to keep it up. Is this squirting of water from hoses going to change the situation?
In principle, it can't.
I think I've read enough of this.
Okay.
This keeps going on.
This is quite long. It's very interesting, though.
Infowar.com and check it out. Because
what they're covering up at Fukushima, it's a very interesting, I think it's a very interesting article because it explains.
But it's extremely long. Right?
Yeah. It explains why it's not working.
This is, this was an interesting article.
The reality detached America.
Yeah.
Oh, so true.
And what I liked about it, it was a short video, but it was only like 4 minutes, but the guy talks about how detached America is based upon what he's seeing and trying to talk to people about, and it's driving him crazy, but it's driving us crazy, and anybody that's in the, that isn't detached is, you know, is
so let's hear
like
what he
says,
has to say.
Says where it's like us living in a twilight zone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
The reality detached America.
It is no measure of mental health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. I'm having a hard time biting my tongue. As the world teeters on the edge of a financial debt tsunami and a nuclear ecological Armageddon, I remain 100% in awe by the fact that most of my friends, neighbors, and colleagues, people with whom I work on a daily basis, intelligent professionals, appear to be completely unfazed, in fact, completely oblivious to the horrifying events now unfolding globally. I spent countless hours on multiple conference calls recently with professionals around the country. Fortune 100 folks from New York City, from the Midwest, and from LA. At no time during the entire week did any single person on those calls make any mention of the horrifying tsunami or the current nuclear nightmare unfolding in Japan. No mention of the possibility of radioactive fallout reaching our own shores or the lack of availability of potassium iodide across our nation. Not one person mentioned the death blow to the Japanese economy, the third largest economy on the planet. No mention of the collapsing dollar or the impact that all of this is bound to have on our own economy and future food prices. Where is the empathy, the compassion, the concern for humanity? Or even on the most basic level, where's their sense of self-preservation? It's as though these traits have been engineered out of the average detached American.
Yeah.
And now this formerly honorable nation is unconstitutionally attacking Libya.
A major attack led by the U.S. is underway against Muammar Gaddafi's air defense systems in Libya.
Where is the resistance? If you are watching this video, you are the resistance. The majority has checked out. They don't care. And liberty breathes its last gasp. The hour is getting very late, my friends. But do Americans even know it? As John Williams of ShadowStats.com has written in his recent special report, the U.S. economic and systematic solvency crisis of the last 4 years have been precursors to the coming Great Collapse, a hyperinflationary Great Depression. Such will encompass a complete collapse in the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar, with no viable or politically practical way of balancing U.S. fiscal conditions and avoiding this financial economic Armageddon. The best that individuals can do at this point to protect themselves encompasses building a store of key consumables such as food and water and moving assets into physical precious metals and outside of the U.S. dollar. And if you know people who still think it's not worry time, please note for them Chris Martinson's recent emergency alert titled Nuclear and Economic Meltdown in Progress. Chris notes in his emergency alert, quote, I have not been this concerned since October 2008. Chris writes, this alert warns you that major world-changing events are now underway and that your personal preparations for an uncertain future should either be completed or take on a new sense of urgency. My friends, these are sobering times. Yet so many of the people we know in our daily lives remain drunk on pop culture and nonsense. They do not recognize any of these dangers. For those of us who are paying attention and who are showing the appropriate level of concern for our fellow human beings, our neighbors, and our families, it can feel like we are living in the twilight zone. Friends, we must not lose faith, and we must not lose hope, but we must take heed. We must speak out. And we absolutely must prepare.
I kind of shake you up a little bit when you notice that. known for some time, and this is a curious that they're blaming it on Rothschilds, but I guess you can easily do that when you see what's going on. And that they control everything in the world. U.S. troops opened fire on Libyan villagers in an operation to rescue two jet fighter crews after their warplane crashed in the east of the country, according to British report. A world power is being divided among China, India, Brazil, and Israel, and the U.S. president has been in Brazil with his family during critical periods of the deadly release of radioactive particles over the Pacific and the beginning of bombing operations putting tons of depleted uranium in Libya. Why the Rothschilds do it?
Let's find out.
Let's see.
Keep going.
Horrible.
You are being lied to on all levels in what I easily recognize as coordinated lies and conspiracy to keep victims in the target area. Here is Glenn Beck, a sociopathic yes man who knows what to say to rise from a disc jockey in the Murdoch organization and his high school with his high school education, telling you that it's impossible for the sabotage reactors to harm anyone. Whereas it was clear to all in the intelligent looking at the facts that the entire tree of fail-safe measures were defeated in Japan. Proof of the one contingency that radiation engineers did not prepare for. Large-scale sabotage involving unlimited scientific and backup resources.
The black op
resources of international organized crime.
Why the Rothschilds do it? They do it for two reasons. First, they have been raised to bring honor to themselves by furthering the advantages of the family and of their vision of Zionism against the interests of the nations. Second, the truth about their intentions and past super crimes is abroad in the world, and those who know the truth are attempting to organize the informed to overthrow Rothschild power. In other words, they want the glory of winning, and they want to avoid the pain of any countermeasures taken by their victims.
Radioactive particles faded into the atmosphere over the Pacific are now in the U.S., and it has not been reported. Depleted uranium is being used in Libya, and that, too, is not being reported. Milk and cattle are already being irradiated, and not just in U.S. Pacific coastal states. A nation may appear to survive without many deaths from radiation sickness, only to be decimated later on by cancer, thyroid, lungs, and other vulnerable organs, and by chromosomal breakdown on recombination destroying the newborn generation. And you elected these people to look out for your interests against the schemes of the evil rich?
Of course, the Rothschild dynasty members don't know anything else but the game of gaining more than those who came before you, of exalting Jewish power and so on and so forth. I don't know. This guy, you know, I can understand this, but this is nothing more than hate shit. And I'm sorry, folks, that I brought this up. But it's just, what can I tell you? Now, it's true that they're using depleted uranium, and it's true that they're using these horrible things and it's destroying people everywhere. And why they do it is beyond me as well. It's not beyond me. It's human population reduction.
Mm-hmm. And until, Agenda 21.
And until we understand that, you know, it's just not going to be.
It's not going to be any change.
People are goddamn stupid. They just walk around and let chemtrails fall on their head and let, poisons, and everything just happen. They poison their food, their water, and everything, and you just become so.
We were standing out in Litchfield, Connecticut, on the green on Sunday protesting the war, and a few people went by either putting a thumbs up or a thumbs down for or against or beeping their horn. But, you know, folks, the majority of people drove by with glazed eyes. They had
They didn't even notice us.
Yeah, you
know, 30, 40 people standing close to the road with signs. They just buzzing right by, talking on their cell phones, whatever it is, you know.
Or just glazed eyes.
Just glazed eyes, yeah, like stoned, you know. Up here in the rural, in this area, a lot of people are stoned on Sundays.
I guess so.
That's their religion. But, You know, I don't know what to tell you. It's just, it's a sad state of
affairs.
And
they weren't young people either.
No, the older they are, the more frightening it is. But, anyway.
Oh, the good part about standing out and protesting is that there were a bunch of young people, and I like that.
Yeah.
From an organization called We Are Change.
Yeah. So, kudos to you guys if you're listening. And, this one just knocks me out. Olivia Warke, for the last 30 years, Armed Forces Minister Extraordinary Admission.
Mm. 30 years?
Yeah. Ministers admitted yesterday that they have no idea how long the military operation against Colonel Gaddafi could take. Ask for an estimate. Armed Forces Minister Nick Harvey said, "How long is a piece of string? We don't know how long this is going to go on. We don't know if it's going to result in a stalemate. We don't know if his capabilities are going to be degraded quickly. Ask me again in a week." And
great.
Yeah. So, you know, this could go on and on and on and on, like all the other wars.
Yeah.
You know, like the last
until
two.
General Electric sells everything that it's made.
Right. All the weapons. Oh, God. I don't know, folks. Just a frightening thing. I'm not even sure what this one was.
The global techno revolution.
Yeah. Plus self government.
Well, let's see what it is.
I don't know what this is. Truth be loved. Preparedness. but my preferred method is sprouts. Sprouts are, in my mind, the number one perfect survival ration. I think that sprouting seeds belong in every household's emergency kit. Just look at some of the reasons that I think this. I used to do that. Just have a screen thing that you know that you put them on.
Uh-huh.
And used to grow sprouts.
First of all, sprouting seeds have a long storage life. Sprouting seeds can be stored up to 4 years at a stable temperature of 70 degrees Fahrenheit. They are small and lightweight and thus don't take up vast amounts of storage space. You can buy them already prepared for storage or simply buy them in bulk from any reputable health food store and put them in an airtight, waterproof storage container yourself. Glass camping jars with rubber ring lids are good. You want something that is rodent-proof, as little critters like seeds, too. Once sealed, the sprouting seeds can be stashed in a cool, dry corner of the attic or pantry for years.
The next reason I think sprouts are ideal emergency rations is their rich digestible energy, bioavailable vitamins, minerals, amino acids, proteins, beneficial enzymes, and phytochemicals. Let's face it, if you are involved in an emergency situation, you want healthy, nutritious food. Crises are not the time to have to rely on empty calories. Once germinated, sprouts provide a good supply of vitamin A, E, C, plus D vitamins. Like enzymes, vitamins serve as bioactive catalysts to assist in the digestion and metabolism of food and the release of energy. They are also essential for the healing and repairing of cells. And during World War II, considerable interest in sprouts developed as a result of an article written by Clive McKay, blah, 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 opened his article with his dramatic announcement, "Wanted, a vegetable that will grow in any climate will rival meat in nutritive value and will mature in 3 to 5 days. May be planted any day of the year. Will require neither soil nor sunshine, will rival tomatoes in vitamin C, and will free of waste in preparation, and can be cooked with little fuel, and as quickly as a chop."
Well, there you have it. Another reason that sprouts get my vote is that the fact that they are extremely inexpensive. You're not tying up massive financial resources in preparedness. For example, you can get alfalfa, wheat, rye, barley, trikale, spelt, kamut, kionna, sesame, or amaranth for roughly $8 a pound. And a pound of sprouting seeds is going to yield buckets of sprouts. If you want the Cadillac of sprouts, you could get broccoli sprouts for somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 a pound. Famous for the antioxidant content, broccoli sprouts can contain up to 50 times the sulforaphane found in mature broccoli by weight, so you get as much as antioxidant in an ounce of broccoli sprouts as you would if you ate 3 pounds of fully grown broccoli. How about that?
There is plenty of variety available, too. With sprouts, there are dozens of types of sprouts from mung was the one I used to get, which was really good. I used to get big like that. And adzukis to mustard or fenugreek. If you stashed away a handful of this and a handful of that, you would have plenty of variety to keep your emergency fare from becoming monotonous. Sprouts are really versatile and can be used in green smoothies in place of vegetables or in all kinds of salads. In an emergency situation, they can be mixed with stored nuts and seeds to make delicious, fortifying, living food salads.
One of the highlights of sprouts is the ease of growing them. They can be grown 100% indoors, requiring very limited space. While they are growing, they do not need any refrigeration, and under emergency conditions, they can be eaten directly from your kitchen garden. All that is needed is to grow them in a glass jar with a mesh lid, or you can opt for growing them in a large glass baking dish on paper towels. They have to be rinsed several times a day, so having clean water on hand, of course, is imperative. A lot of good information about various methods of growing spouts are available on the internet, and you can choose a method that will fit your particular circumstances. Sprout seeds are easy to store. The germinated sprouts are packed with nutrition, alive, inexpensive, varied, and easy to grow in your kitchen garden. They are ideal for your preparedness kit. But why wait for a crisis? Why not just start enjoying them now?
Yeah.
I used to eat sprouts in the 60s and 70s.
The 70s is when I
put them in the salad, in my salads
all
the time.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mung sprouts were, mung beans.
They used to sell them in the
really
grocery.
Big. Yeah. They used to get really big, you know, and you could put them on a screen. And you just put them on, and then you just watered them.
Would they grow?
Yeah, and they'd grow like crazy. In just a few days, you'd have all kinds. I used to grow alfalfa sprouts and mung sprouts. I like mung. See, I like mung, these kind.
Which one?
Like your...
The white one?
Yeah, the big ones.
Oh.
Like big. And the alfalfa is like a little tiny one like that.
Oh.
Yeah, they got a little picture there. Legally conducted GM corn trials without approval.
I think we read that.
PayPal profits before safety.
Well, we know that. U.S. chopper shoots six Libyan villages as they welcome pilots of downed Air Force jets.
Yeah.
Why would they shoot them?
What? What do you mean? Rescue chopper shoots six Libyan villages as they welcome them out. Six Libyan villages are recovering in a hospital after being shot by American soldiers coming in to rescue the U.S. pilots whose plane crashed landed in a field. The helicopter strafed the ground as it landed in a field outside Benghazi behind the drowned U.S. Air Force, which...
Beside the downed U.S. Air Force F-15 Eagle, which ran into trouble during bombing raid last night. And a handful of locals who had come to greet the pilots were hit, among them a young boy who may have to have a leg amputated because of injuries caused by a bullet wound.
Pretty sick, stupid.
Really, do you just shoot everybody?
Yeah, we don't care. That's the whole story. The first confirmed casualties of the Allied operation, Channel 4's initial, I can't read tonight anyway, I can't read anymore, but it goes on and on.
Shows a lot of pictures.
But these clowns can shoot anybody.
The next Yemen president is to be U.S. picked. The United States, Western powers, and Persian Gulf states are manipulating the scene in Yemen for a new president who is in favor of their imperialist policies. In an interview with Press TV, author and political analyst Kevin Ovenden talks about Yemeni incumbent President Ali Abdul Salah losing the support he needs to suppress anti-government protests in Saudi Arabia, backed by Western powers trying to keep him afloat until a favorable replacement is found. That's always something. Germany pulls out of the NATO operations. That was fast. They're not committing any money to this.
Let's see what this is about.
Germany has pulled out of the NATO operations in the Mediterranean due to the disagreement over the forces mission in Libya. The German defense ministry said on Tuesday that Berlin pulled out of any military operations in the Mediterranean following the Western military alliance's involvement in the Libya conflict, DPA reported. A ministry spokesman said two frigates and two other ships with a crew of 550 would be reverted to German command. Some 60 to 70 German troops participating in NATO-operated AWACS surveillance operations in the Mediterranean would also be withdrawn, according to the military.
The ministry.
Oh, to the ministry. Yeah. Sorry. Let's see what else they say. So they weren't in agreement with this invasion.
Yeah.
Following the disputes among NATO members over the military intervention in Libya, they met in Brussels to mend the differences over what role the alliance should play in Libya. France says the takeover of the operation by NATO will alienate Arab states. However, Italy believes that NATO should take control of the military campaign in Libya. Meanwhile, the head of the Italian Senate's Defense Affairs Committee, Gianpiero Cantoni, said the French policy is motivated by a desire to secure oil contracts with future Libyan government. U.S. President Barack Obama, French President Nicolas Sarkozy, and British Prime Minister David Cameron have agreed NATO should play an important role in the command structure of the Libyan mission, the White House said. They reviewed the substantial progress that's been made in terms of halting the advance of Gaddafi's forces on Benghazi, as well as the establishment of a no-fly zone, said the White House spokesman, Ben Rhodes.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Don't blame him. Oh, okay.
Oh, how about
Israeli ex-president sentenced for rape. The former Israeli president, Moshe Katsav, has been sentenced to 7 years in jail after being convicted on two counts of rape and other offenses. The 65-year-old was convicted at an earlier hearing of raping an employee in the 1990s when he was tourism minister, and later during his presidency. The court ruling also includes a two-year suspended sentence and a compensation of $28,000 to the main victim, state-run BBC reported.
It's all $28,000.
Yeah. Let's see. Judge George Carr
told him,
"We will believe the plaintiff, woman A, because her testimony is supported by elements of evidence, and she told the truth. Castaves first agreed with prosecutor to plead guilty to sexual misconduct, avoiding more charges that are serious, but later he denied the rape allegation. During his sentence hearing, Castell broke down in tears and shouted at the judges, 'You made a mistake. It's a lie. The girl knows it's a lie.' And court documents showed that Castell committed the rape in April 1998 and sexually harassed two women in 2003-2005 during his presidency. He had to resign in 2007 after the sex scandal went public." You remember that?
Yes, I do.
We remember that. We reported it right here.
Here, let's play that.
Fork in the Road? That's 15 minutes long. Let's see. Stuff we read yesterday.
I'm trying to look for more here, folks.
Yeah. So, we wish you a good day.
This is yesterday, so.
This is yesterday, so we're going to go to another day.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Why don't you put on a little music while we...
Well, we all find, he wants to find
a... Ball you can eat. It'll be fun to listen to.
We'll have a little music break here while Leo tries to find...
F-35, a weapon that costs more than Australia.
What's that?
The F-35 is designed to be the core tactical fighter aircraft for the U.S. military and three versions of the Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps. Each plane clocks in at around $90 million. In a decade's time, the United States plans to have 15 times as many modern fighters as China and 20 times as many as Russia. So how many F-35s do we need? Well, Washington intends to buy 2,443 at a price tag of $382 billion. Added to the $650 billion that the government accountability estimates is needed to operate and maintain the aircraft, and the cost reaches a staggering $1 trillion. In other words, we're spending more on this plane than Australia's entire gross GDP. Okay? That's absolutely amazing. And this is one sick boy here. I think Obama is like some kind of macho nut idiot, you know.
Well, this was probably in the works way before Obama.
Yeah, but I mean, now he's approving it. I mean, now he wants this in his budget.
The Lockheed Martin F-35 Lightning II is an impressive aircraft, a fifth-generation multi-role fighter plane with stealth technology. It's also a symbol of everything that's wrong with defense spending in America. In a rational world, U.S. military expenditure would focus on likely threats that the United States faces today and in the future, and at a time of mounting national debt, the Tea Party would be knocking down the Pentagon's door to cut waste. But the only Tea Party in sight is the one overseen by the Mad Hatter as we head down the rabbit hole in the military-industrial wonderland. The F-35 is designed to be the core tactical fighter aircraft for the U.S. military, with three versions for the Air Force, Navy, and Marine Corps. Each plane clocks in at around $90 million. So how many F-35s do we need? 100? 500? Washington intends to buy 2,443 at a price of $382 billion.
Yeah, and we just said that $650 billion just to maintain these things, right? And it's insane. And F-35 is the most expensive defense program in history and reveals massive cost overruns, a lack of clear strategic thought, and a culture in Washington that encourages incredible waste. And money is pouring into the F-35 vortex. In 2010, Pentagon officials found that the cost of each plane had soared by over 50% above the original projections. The program has fallen years behind schedule and causing billions of dollars of additional expense, and won't be ready until 2016. An internal Pentagon report concluded that affordability is no longer embraced as a core pillar. In January 2011, even Defense Secretary Robert Gates, champion of the aircraft, voiced his frustration. The culture of endless money that has taken hold must be replaced by a culture of restraint. The F-35 is meant to be the future U.S. tactical air power, but the program harks back to the Cold War when we face an aggressive great power rival. And the world has changed. The odds of great power have not declined dramatically. We still need a deterrent capacity against China and Russia, but how much is enough? In a decade's time, the United States plans to have 15 times as many fighters as China and 20 times as many as Russia. So
we need all that, right?
Yeah, we need 20 times, you know. And this article goes on.
Very ridiculous.
Just says more of the insanity that we're doing. But you know, we gotta stop those war stuff. It's just terrible. It's just killing everything, killing us, killing the economy. Anyway.
How about this?
Yeah, about 10 minutes.
Okay. Illinois seeks to seize prisoners' wages. Kelsey Hawkins is a deadbeat, according to the State of Illinois. He owes $455,203 to cover the cost of his stay at the Stateville Correctional Center in Joliet. Hawkins has been in prison since 1982. His jailer is also a debt collector. Hawkins is fighting in court stopped the state from seizing about $11,000 in a bank account to partially satisfy the debt. The 60-year-old earned the money by working while he's been behind bars, making about $75 a month. Well, it sounds like the state of Connecticut, that's what they do. Let's see what else is on this.
So he kept it in his mattress.
Yeah.
The issue of whether the state can repossess the meager wages paid to inmate will be determined by the Illinois Supreme Court, which holds arguments on that case, Hawkins case, Tuesday. It's the first time the court will address the issue, social justice and public policy ramifications for Illinois. Save $11,000 is miraculous, but the money we get from this guy means nothing to the state. This is not going to help create a prison culture that's more rehabilitative, which makes people less likely to offend again. The State Department of Corrections declined to comment on the Hawkins case because the matter is pending. He says Hawkins' lawyers, who are representing him for free, said the case defies logic. I think this is an arbitrary and wrong-headed application of the law where bureaucratic thinking gets in the way of common sense. And Illinois has had an inmate program work program since 73, according to department spokesman. About 44% of the state's 48,000 inmates participate in the program. Hawkins began work soon after he entered Stateville, and he was sentenced to 60 years for slaying of a 65-year-old man and attempted to kill two Chicago policemen. Yeah. Okay. Up for parole in 2028. He got his 65. He's gonna die there.
He wanted to send some money to his daughter, who was 8 when he went to prison. Hawkins learned to build desk chairs, dividers, and cabinets in the prison's wood shop. Glad said his wages amount to about $2 a day, not including a small commission he earned on each piece sold.
He's very proud of the work, and it's clearly the best part of his life. And it goes on and on.
Well, that sounds like the state of Connecticut,
yeah,
who sees the money a few women got on selling a few books that they put together on some poetry.
It's absolutely sick. It's absolutely sick.
After taking a poetry class.
France arrests pro-Palestinians for anti-Israel campaign.
Let's listen to this.
The long-running boycott, disinvestment, and sanctions campaign against Israel is in retaliation against Tel Aviv's treatment of Palestinians. Groups in France stepped up their activities after the war in Gaza just over 2 years ago, and in some instances have entered supermarkets to try to discourage shoppers from buying Israeli products.
Because we have so many sympathizers, and we have to be proud, and we have to continue to boycott.
Our French government refuses to take any sanction against Israeli criminal policy. We have tried demonstrations, petitions, meetings, everything, and the boycott proves to be the most efficient tool, and all the history of liberation struggles show it.
Olivia Zamore is one of four defendants accused variously of taking part in the campaign and posting videos of them on the internet. Prosecutors claim these activities amount to incitement of racial hatred against Israel. First, the boycott was against goods made in the occupied territories, and then it extended to cover all Israeli goods. These actions lead to anti-Semitic sentiments.
Are people products in our system of law? You have no legal ground in France to say that an appeal or a campaign on boycott is a racist campaign.
Supporters cheered as the defendants left court. So far, 10 such cases have been heard in France. The outcome of this trial and an appeal against the only conviction so far depend largely on yet another case, this time being heard in France's constitutional court. It must decide if the alleged offences contravene the country's complex penal code. A major worry is that convictions would raise questions about freedom of speech in France. The defendants must now wait until October, when the judges are expected to give their verdicts. Marc Vautier, Presse TV, Paris.
All right. That's strange.
Yeah.
But, you know, got to do something. See, they got you by the gestapo. If you, you know, now they're saying, you know, oh, it's a racist boycott. It's not a racist boycott. You know,
they're boycotting the racism.
They're boycotting what?
The racism inside.
They're boycotting the racism inside Israel itself. You know, they're occupying Palestine where they're slaughtering these people.
Mm-hmm.
They just killed
it's
17.
A genocide.
They just killed 17 of them the other day on an airstrike. You know, it's just like, you know, God, yeah. Like, stop the madness, you know. Wake up and smell the roses here, guys. Why aren't you seeing it? You know? And of course, it's anti-Semitic. You know, that's a crock of shit. You know, the Jews aren't even Semitic. They're, you know, they don't even live there. Most of them came from Europe, for crying out loud. That's well known. So they're being anti-Semitic is being anti-Palestinian. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Not anti-Jew. So... you know, it's a total farce, a total joke. If you fall for it, you're an idiot. Mainstream media halts accurate reporting on Japan's worsening nuclear catastrophe. Makes sense. Disinfo campaign now underway. So, maybe we can expect more of the same. You write what you're told. Thanks, corporate news. We can control the world without you. And almost as if on cue, the mainstream media today halted nearly all accurate reporting of the worsening situation in Japan.
Really?
Writing off the whole thing as a non-issue. This all happened, it seemed, in a seeming coordinated effort following the President Obama's speech on Wednesday that urged Americans not to prepare for anything. The American people, Obama insisted, should simply watch television to stay informed.
Ah.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Shortly after, mainstream television news returned to its regular scheduled sports and entertainment programming, barely touching on the reality of the worsening situation in Fukushima nuclear power plant in Japan. Yeah, there we go.
Sorts because she was taller than everything.
What's that?
They're just out of, we're just out of sorts here in this country.
Out of sorts.
Yep.
What do you mean?
We're just not keeping up with everything.
Huh.
We're just not paying attention to anything.
Huh. And the Saudis brutalized the Bahrainis. Bahraini and Saudi security and armed forces have beaten, shot, and detained demonstrators for holding peaceful rallies and demanding change. Press TV interviewed so-and-so. Obama voiced dismay at the U.S. stance adopted toward the barbaric slaughter of innocents.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not entering Bahrain.
No,
we're going into Libya. The Saudis are in there. They're shooting everybody up. You know, the hypocrisy of our situation is. Maybe that's why people don't care. They're just disgusted. They're so disgusted, and they know they can't do anything about it. And we can bitch like us and, you know, maybe get a few people this year. Oh, God, yeah, you know, but what do you got? That's jack shit. That's what they want you to have. Well, it's about time to go over there, Lila.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to, there's anything there for us.
I want to thank folks for being with us and stay tuned for tomorrow night for the L.A. Steel Show.
Yeah.
Leo will be talking with you. Friday night we're off. And then we'll be back again on...
Next Tuesday. So I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight, and we wish you the very, very best. And we will tune out here, I guess. Right? Swagger. Yeah. Right there.
What?
There you go.